than usual. We don't have a case that I'm going to present. I'm just going to present you with a Gemara that gives a prohibition against lending money without having witnesses present. So we'll hand out the handouts and read the Gemara, and our plan will be to see the problems presented by the Gemara and then first explain some justifications why we seem not to keep this custom nowadays, why we seem not to keep this halacha nowadays, and then we will give a perhaps simple method of conforming with this Gemara. So let's start the Gemara. The Gemara says, Am Rabbi Yehuda, Am Rav. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Kol mi sheyesh lamos, anyone who has money, umava osan shelo be'edim, and he lends them without witnesses present, over mishum vilifnei iver lo sitin mishal, he has violated the Torah's commandment that you should not put a stumbling block before the blind. We know that the Gemara understands that this halacha, this pasuk, is not meant literally, or at least it's meant more than literally, not only referring to a stumbling block, a physical stumbling block in front of a blind person, but a possible mistake, causing someone to make a mistake due to his blindness from this mistake that could be made. For example, we're not allowed to give wine to a nazir who happens to be thirsty and can't get wine in any other way. Giving him the wine to drink right now will be giving this blind person, so-called blind person, a stumbling block, causing him to do an aveira. The same thing happens to a non-Jew. He can't even cause a non-Jew to violate one of his seven Noachai mitzvahs that he's not allowed to keep. We can't give him Eber Menachai, which he would then eat, because that is causing this blind person to stumble. So that's what Rav Yehuda says. If you lend someone money without having witnesses present, you're giving him the opportunity to possibly deny the loan, and that is presenting him with a stumbling block. If the lender gives the money to the lova without the witnesses, so then you're tempting the lova, the borrower, to deny that he ever received the loan, and by doing that you have violated the prohibition against putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person, meaning causing someone to do an aveira. Right, so that's Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rav. It's usher to lend someone money without witnesses there. Reish Lakish says, Garen Klolul Atma. If you lend someone money without witnesses there, you're going to cause a curse upon, that person will cause a curse upon himself. Why is that? Shenem, because Pasuk says, Te'olam Nasivse Shoker Hadoros Al Tzadik Asa. The Pasuk says in Tehillim that may these lying lips be silenced that speak falsehood about someone righteous. Because what's going to happen over here? You're going to go, Reuben's going to go to Shimon and say, give me back the $1,000 that I lent you. And he'll say, my thousand, I never lent you $1,000. And what's everyone going to say about Reuben? They're all going to say about Reuben, Reuben's a liar. And they're going to start cursing him and say, look, he goes around telling people that they owe him money and he has no evidence and he's just trying to steal people and steal money from people. So Rabbi Yehuda said, Amar Rav said, that if you lend money to someone without witnesses, what you're going to do is you're violating the prohibition of lifnei iver. You're putting a stumbling block in front of a blind person. Reish Lakish says, Garin klolul atzmo, you're going to cause, that person causes a curse to himself, because when he, it's more of a practical reason, that when he tries to claim his money that's owed to him, the borrower will deny he ever received it, and through that people will curse him. The Gemara brings a case where such a thing happened, where this halacha was used. Amar li Rabban li Rav Ashi. The rabbis told Rav Ashi, Tamekayim Ravina Kamadam Rabbanan. You should know the Ravina does everything that the Chachamim said one should do. So Rav Ashi wanted to see if this was true about Ravina. So Shalach Le Bahari Panya Demali Shabsa, Rav Ashi sent Ravina a message, Erev Shabbos in the afternoon. Literally Mara Sarazuzi, please lend me $10, 10 Zuzim. Because I have a little piece of land that just came up that I'd like to buy. Can you lend me money so I can make that purchase? Shalach Le, Ravina sent back to him, Nesi Marsadi, I can't lend it to you without any witnesses. Bring witnesses. V'nichtek Sova, let's write a document. Shalach Le, Ravashi said to him, Afila no nami, I know that there's this halach that you're not allowed to lend money without witnesses, but you don't trust me. So Shalach Le, Ravina sent back to him, Kolshkeimar, certainly I have to be concerned about you, the Torah Begirsi, because you're a Talmud Chacham who's always busy learning, and Mishnah Livgram Kololatzmi, you might forget about the loan, and because you're so busy all the time, and you'll cause that Kolol to me, like we said, that someone lends money without witnesses, he could get a Kolol, because when he claims the money, the person's not going to remember, and everyone's going to say, oh, you're trying to get money from people wrongly. Right, Rashi says, Yishka Chalvos, you're going to forget the loan. Ve'agum Klolos, that's going to cause a curse. So listen, as an example of this halacha that you cannot make a loan without witnesses. The Gemara then continues. Tana Rabbanan, it brings a brisa. Shlosha Tzolakim Einenim. There's three people that complain and have no answer. There's no answer to give them. Ve'elohim, these are they bring around about their own downfall. If someone has money and lends it without having witnesses testify, being there to witness the loan. Hakon Adon La'asav, someone who acquires a master over himself, we'll see what that is. Misha Isha Mashal Shalav, someone who marries a woman who controls him. You know, he complains, but it's his fault. Why didn't he marry her? Right, so that's these three people. The Gemara gives an example. So what's the mean that you acquire a master? We won't say the last one the Gemara says is someone who's having troubles. Someone who has troubles in one town, he's unsuccessful in business, whatever he's doing isn't going right. He doesn't try going to a different town, to a different neighborhood. So, you know, he's complaining, oh, look at how terrible things are, so why don't you move? Go somewhere else. Don't complain about how things are here when you can go somewhere else. Right, so that's three people who have brought about their own downfall. If you lend money without witnesses, don't complain when people start denying the loans because it was your fault. You didn't use the witnesses like you're supposed to. If you're having troubles in a town and you don't go out of town, don't complain to me that you're having troubles. Move out of town, find something better business there. And thirdly, if someone's wife is giving him problems, who told you to marry her? You married her, now you're stuck. So those are the three people that have problems.
One question: when you pay back a loan, do you need witnesses?
Okay, that we'll talk about that. That's a good question.
Does it fall under the same?
Right, you're going to. The halacha is that even if you borrowed money with witnesses, you don't have to pay back with witnesses. That's the way we
talk. Okay,
good question. We'll talk about that. So this is the Gemara. It's Paskin din Shulchan Aruch. I read the Shulchan Aruch Siman Ayin. Sif Aleph, Asr Lahavas below 8, and he says it's simpler. It's prohibited to lend money without witnesses. Vafila Tamachach, even to a Tamachach, like we saw in the Gemara. Elim Kehil Ve'al Amyashkin, if you don't want to, you get witnesses, so at least have a security. Get a deposit from him. Vamalav Eshtam Meshubach Yosir, if you use a document, that's even best. That's even better, like Ravina did. Anyone that lends money without witnesses over Mishum Lifnei Iver L'Sitim Mishli has violated the prohibition against Lifnei Iver, Begarim Klala La'atma, and he causes a Klala to himself. That's the Shulchan Aruch. Now, all the Poskin, these many, many Poskin, it's a big sugya, and they all deal with why don't we do that? Or they all looked at around, and they all see people lending money and not getting witnesses, and not getting documents. I don't know if you've ever done it, but they post them all talk that this is what people do. So why is that? How can you just ignore a Gemara? How can you ignore a Shulchan Aruch when it says it's usher to lend money without witnesses? So there's a few diukim in the Gemara that the post can deal with, and I have a few of them written down over here, and there are others that I didn't write down. So we'll go over a few of the reasons why people don't use witnesses, and explain why all of them are not valid. And the last part of this year, we'll try to find some way out of this issue of what we can do practically speaking. Now, the first one, the oldest answer is by the Tosfos Yontev on the Rosh, the Pilpul Harifta. He says, look at back at the Gemara. Amar Rav Yudah Amar Rav said, anyone that has money and lends without witnesses, he violates Lifnei Iver. Reish Lakish said he causes a curse to himself. Now, what's Reish Lakish doing? The Tosfos Yonta says what Reish Lakish is doing is he's saying, I disagree with you, Rav Yehuda. You said there's Lifnei Iver over here, but I say there's no Lifnei Iver. The only thing that a person does is he causes a curse to himself. Right? So it's a bad thing, because when you start trying to claim the money from the lender and he denies it, so then people will make fun of you, they'll curse you. So the Tosfos Yonta says, suppose you don't mind getting cursed, you don't mind taking that risk. Right? Once there's no Iser Lifnei Iver, once Reish Lakish seems to say there's no issue of Lifnei Iver, so then take the risk of the curse and then it's okay. And he brings a proof to that, because when the story with Ravina and Ravashi happened, the only thing Ravina was worried about, the only thing that Ravina was worried about was you might forget the loan, Ravashi, and you're going to cause a curse to myself. You're going to cause me a curse. He didn't say I'm going to be violate the Iser Lifnei Iver. So we see that there isn't a problem of Lifnei Iver. The problem is only causing a curse, and then you have the right to change your mind, to take your risk and not worry about that curse. Now, why should there not be a problem of Lifnei Iver? How is this different than giving wine to a Nazir or something treif to a Jew, or we spoke about last year, or something that a non-Jew can't eat, giving him that? How is this different giving a loan to a person without witnesses?
It's not as direct,
right? It's, right now you're not giving it. If you give a Nazir wine, this is something the Nazir is not allowed to have, and he's thirsty, he says hand it to me, and he's across the river like everyone says, and he's going to drink the wine you're giving him the Yisr. If you give someone $1,000 and you say you can pay me back in 30 days, he says, "Not, you didn't give him anything Yisr, you gave him $1,000 if he later forgets to pay you back, that's not Lifnei Iver anymore. That's very indirect. The person can go even further, like, are you going to say, if you're tempting him, you're giving $1,000, you're tempting him. So then, I suppose you have a nice house and you invite someone to your house, you're tempting him to put the silverware in his pocket. You know, when you invite him over, you know, you have like fancy silverware. You know, why is there Lifnei Iver there? You know, so probably not, because people don't do that. So that's why the poskim say there might not be Lifnei Iver. So if you hold that, so then we have a way out. The Tosfos Yontif says this is a way out. Reish Lakish holds there's no Lifnei Iver. Ravina Ravashi didn't discuss Lifnei Iver. The only thing is the curse. So people say, okay, look, I don't mind the curse, I'll take my chances, I trust him, I don't think it's going to happen, and then you're okay. However, the Tosfos Yontif himself says this isn't a good answer, because as much as we want to say, well, Reish Lakish is disagreeing with Rav Yehuda and it's not mentioned over there, the way you do with the Rambam and the Rush, he says, and the Shulchan Aruch, that says, Kol Hamava below, anyone that lends without witnesses, over Mishum Lifnei Iver, he has violated Lifnei Iver, Lo Sitin Mishum, and he causes a curse to himself. Right? All the poskim say both reasons. So even if you want to say the Gemara might mean that, we have a Shulchan Aruch to deal with, and the Shulchan Aruch apparently holds that Reish Lakish is adding that Rav Yehuda and Rav said, oh, you lend him money, you're going to cause Lifnei Iver, because that is Lifnei Iver. You've caused that stumbling block by giving him that temptation to later deny the loan, and now you gave him this temptation, because at this point you gave him a loan without witnesses and he can deny it later. That's Lifnei Iver. Reish Lakish is not only that, you're going to have people curse you. Reish Lakish is saying an additional factor, you're going to cause someone to curse you. So that answer is not a good answer. The Erech Shai wants to make another diuk in the Gemara. Look carefully at the Gemara again. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Kol Shemi Sheyesh Lamos, whoever has money, Umavos and Shalabedim, and lends them without witnesses. What's it mean? Anyone that has money and lends it without witnesses, and if he doesn't have money, of course he's not going to lend it. Why doesn't it just say, Asur Lahavos Mos below Aiden? Or, what's Kol Mi Sheyesh Lamos? Anyone that has money and doesn't lend them without witnesses. So the Erech Shai says that's because this Gemara is talking about this Iser is very limited. It's limited to someone who has a certain amount of money lent aside, set aside that he always used for lending. He's constantly recycling his money, lending money to people, and then he gets paid back, he lends it again. So such a person who's constantly involved in loans, sooner or later, he's going to end up having someone deny the loan, and to him, there's an Isser Lifnei Iver, cause a curse, because he's very active in lending money. But someone who doesn't have that, if, you know, I'm not in the lending business, and you just ask me, can you borrow some money, and I lend you the money, so there, what are the chances of you forgetting it and denying it and having people curse me? So he says that this halach is limited to someone who has a lending business, someone who's very involved with lending.
Very strange. We're talking about something that has to do with the malva.
Right.
The lova's psychology is the same in both cases. What does he care whether there's a...
No, so the malva, who is so active, will eventually hit a lova who is going to cause the problem. So
but on each case, when he does it, the psychology of the lova is the same. A guy
the
doesn't have
the same,
but same money, and he
but let's say 1% of the population will deny a loan. So if I once in a while lend someone money, I don't have to be concerned, no, with a 1% chance that he's going to deny it. But if I lend 100 times a week, so then I'm going to hit this one person fairly often. So that's what he's saying, why there's a problem. Because since you're so active in lending, it'll end up resulting in a problem for you sooner or later. But Erech Shah himself says this is not a good answer, because as much as it's a nice deacon, the Gemara, the Rishash also makes it similar to you. He says it only applies to someone rich, because the lover will try to, it means you have a lot of money, and the borrower will try to steal from someone who has a lot of money. But the Erech Shah says the problem is the Gemara and the Poskim don't say that. Right? The Lashon Shulchan Aruch is also a havas below Eidim. It's prohibited to lend without witnesses. It doesn't say, well, it's talking if you have a lot of money and you're cycling loans a lot. It says there's a prohibition to lend money. So the Aruch Shai also says this is not a good answer. The third answer given is the Divrei Malkiel. The Divrei Malkiel has a strong case. He brings a Ritva. Ritva in Megillat Apchavches says that even though there are times that the Gemara says the word usser, something's usser, sometimes the Gemara uses that lashon when it's only a mitas chasidus. It's like the best thing to do, but it's not really a prohibition if you don't do it. It's preferred to behave this way. This is a preferred behavior to not lend money unless you have witnesses. And he brings a raya, because if it was really prohibited, so what was Rav Ashi doing it? Rav Ashi wants to see, well, let me see if Ravina is so good. They say Ravina keeps all the rules of the Chachamim. Let me test it. So what's he think? Does he think that Ravina eats chicken cooked with milk together because it's only Drabanan? Does he think that he carries in a carmelis on Shabbos? It's only Drabanan. So he carries Muktzah. He doesn't keep Drabanans. He had no shaila. Any Jew would keep the rabbanans. And you're talking about Ravina. It must be that it was only midas chasidus. He went to see, does he even keep this midas chasidus? Does he keep this special custom that's a good thing to do? Or is he lax, somewhat lax on things? So that's what he wants to say. Now I want to bring a raya to this Divrei Malkiel, to the Ritva. No one said this that I saw, but in the end of this Gemara that we said, right, the Braisa said there are three people who cry out that they're being mistreated and it's their own fault. Then we said one who lends money without witnesses, someone who has his wife, he's henpecked, someone who lives in a town where things aren't working, doesn't go away, doesn't move out. Now there's no isser in marrying someone who's going to henpeck you. It might not be advisable, but there's no prohibition against it. It's just a bad idea. And there's no isser in staying in a town where things aren't working out. You have a business you're selling skis in Florida, right? And you think no one's buying them. So there's no isser. It's just it's not a smart thing to do. So if the Braisa puts this halacha of lending money without witnesses with those two other examples, I think that's a good support to say that we're dealing with a midas chasidus here. We're dealing with something that's a preferred way of doing things. If someone who's a chassid that wants to be very meticulous with all their actions, so they should be careful not to lend money without having witnesses there. But a halacha doesn't seem that way. So that's the Divrei Malkiel, and the others said their answer wasn't good. He likes his answer, and he says because then he passes the shaila based on this, that he holds that we can ignore this halacha because It's only for Hasidim that want to be very meticulous, but normal people don't have to worry about it. The problem is all the poskim, other poskim say, but the Divrei Malkila, the Shulchan Aruch says, also the house below Eden. You know, it's in the Gemara we might have proofs, but the Shulchan Aruch, the Rambam, this is Lashon of the Rambam accepted this as halacha. So it's difficult to say that it's only a good minhag, a good practice. The Aruch HaShulchan has a fourth way out. He says that nowadays you only lend money to people you know. If you know the person and you know he's not going to forget, he's not going to deny it, so then he says that that's why it's okay. The problem with that answer, that way out, is how about Ravina and Ravashi? You know, Ravina knew Ravashi and Ravashi knew Ravina. There's Amoroi, they went to Gemara together with the same Ravina and Ravashi, and they still held that they had to be meticulous because maybe they'll forget. A Talmud Chacham could forget. Nowadays we're very pressured with things, we all forget different things, so the Aruch HaShulchan's answer doesn't seem so so satisfying either. And one last one I have written down is Rav Aryeh Leib Mitzvah B'Torah says, Yabbi Omer brings us that so the Yabbi Omer brings, he says that when you have good friends, so what do you worry about? You worry that they're going to forget and deny it, but look, it's such a good friend, I'm not going to let him have the $20, the $1,000, you know, it's worth the friendship that I shouldn't bother with it. So if you're willing to be mochel the loan, so then there's another nehiver, not like the story of Rabbi Levin, when someone came and stole his wife, when he ran out to say, you know, I'm giving it to you, shouldn't be over this, or geneva. So what do you worry, that the person's going to deny it, so you'll be mochel? If you're willing to be mochel it, so then you have no problem. Which the poskim say isn't so posh, because to be mochel, sometimes you have to say, some poskim hold has to be with spoken out. It can't just be the machshava. So then, why don't you be mochel him? If you give him the $1,000 now, and now you ask him a month from now, do you have $1,000? He says no. So at that point, he's a ganav. So now you're mochlim afterwards, but you cause him to do an aveira. So you're mochlim when you give it to him and say, here's $1,000, and I don't mind if you don't pay me back. Thank you. And that's the way out. But I don't know if that's such a great idea either. So these are the five justifications for Araminig not to lend with witnesses. So first of all, to say that Reish Lakish disagrees with Rav Yehuda Amarav, and that he tells him to himself, it's hard to say because the Shulchan Aruch does say Lifnei Iver. The Erech Shai said it only applies to the limited case, someone who has a lot of money to lend out, with the Erech Shai himself said, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that difference. Divrei Malkil says it's only Midas Chasidus, it's only for meticulous people to act that way, which we the other poskim say, but the Shulchan Aruch says it's Asur to do, it's prohibited, it doesn't say that it's a good thing to do, it's a Midas Chasidus to do. The Aruch HaShulchan said if you know for sure he's not going to deny it, he's not going to forget, so then it's no problem. But who can we say is we can be so certain about that he will never forget it? And finally, the Mitzvah B'Torah, who said that if you're willing to be mochlit, so then there won't be a problem, and the issue there is that might be too late. The mechil will be after he's already violated the geneva, which causes you to be violating the Lifnei Iver. So at this point we have a bit of a problem to justify what we can do, what we do. There's, to introduce a possible way out of this issue, there's another question that the Rishonim already asked on this Gemara. What are we saying over here? We said over here, make sure you lend money with witnesses, because if you don't lend money with witnesses, we're afraid that when it's time to collect the loan, he'll come back and he'll say, look, I don't remember, I didn't lend you, I never borrowed, I don't know who you are, and that's Lifnei Iver, and you cause a curse upon yourself. So make sure they're witnesses. Now what happens if they're witnesses? So now you're going to come to them and say, look, Reuben and Shimon are my witnesses that you borrowed $1,000 from me and I'd like it back. And he'll say, it's true, I borrowed $1,000 from you, but I paid you back the next day. And you'll say, where are your witnesses? And he'll say that Sif Beis and Shulchan Aruch says, even if the person lent the money with witnesses, the borrower is not required to return the money with witnesses. He can say, look, here's your money back, and I'm potter. Now, it might not be a good idea to do, but he's allowed to do that. And if he says that he did it, he's believed. Now, why aren't we worried? Why don't we obligate him to return it with the witnesses? Because that much we're not afraid that people are that rotten. But someone might say, look, you never lent me the money. You might have forgot they lent the money. But here we're that he's going to say, yeah, you lent me the money and I paid you back when you never really paid him back. That far, they didn't make any takkan of that. Some persons would go so far. Huh? Yeah, well, there is a later Shavuos Hesus. There's a Shavuos Hesus, the Shavuot Rabbanan. Yeah, that's another teretz. Which I'm not saying that's they want to say that this Gemara only applied when there was no Shavuos Hesus. Nowadays, when there is a Shavuot, so you don't have to worry about it. But okay, that's a kasha that they ask. In fact, the Meiri says, based on this kasha, that this Gemara is only talking where you made a condition. When is it okay to have witnesses? When is it that I'm saying don't lend money unless you have witnesses? That's witnesses. That's when you make a loan and say, and you cannot pay me. I'm giving you the money on the condition that you pay me only with witnesses, because otherwise you've not accomplished anything. You're lending him money, and we said we don't want to cause any stumbling blocks for people to deny the loan. But there's just as big a stumbling block with Chora if you could not deny the loan but say I pay back the loan. If you have no ways of proving that the loan was not paid back, so what have you accomplished? Anyone could just say I paid it. He can't say I didn't borrow it. There's two witnesses here, but he could just as well say I paid it, parati. That's the kasha. Well, that the Achronim asked him. Here he says this teretz, but all the poskim say it doesn't say anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch. No one else said that. They just said it. You should have witnesses. It doesn't say anywhere that the witnesses have to be witnesses who that the loan has to be in a condition that he has to pay back with witnesses. It just says make sure there are witnesses there to testify to the loan. So here also there are a few answers given to this kasha. The Lechem Mishnah says a difficult answer to say in Rashi, but he wants to say when Rashi says, what's the lifnei iver? Rashi said, well, a person will now be ola arucha lichvar. He's going to think about denying it now. Pashpashan Rashi is, he's going to say, oh, look, I got $1,000, no one's watching, and now you're tempting him to deny it later, to be a bad guy and purposely deny it later. The Lechem Mishnah says, we're not talking about Rishayim over here. The Gemara doesn't have to make takkanas because of a shayim. You're going to know not to lend money to a Rasha. You don't have to tell me to beware of a Rasha. What Rashi really means is we're afraid he'll make an honest mistake. People make mistakes. And Ola Rucha Lichvar, meaning you'll give him the possibility of denying it later. It's only we're worried about a mistake. So what happens if he makes a mistake? If there's no witnesses here, so the lover, all he has to do is make a shvua that I didn't borrow any money, and he thinks he's telling the truth, and he'll be free. But if the witness is here and saying that you borrowed the money, and so he can't deny he didn't borrow the money, all he's saying is I paid back. So at this point, he's going to think twice about it. Like, to say that he never borrowed that, he doesn't remember borrowing it, so he'll even swear to the fact. But when he knows that he did borrow the money, and now he thinks he remembered he paid back, so it's not as likely he's going to make such a mistake and think he paid back when he didn't pay back. You know, there's like a positive thing you're saying. To say, I don't remember having this incident happen, that's more possible to say than to think something that you did something when you didn't do it. So that's the Lechem Mishnah's teretz. To say Rashi's lav dafka when he says Ola Rucha, he doesn't mean that he's going to do it on purpose. You're tempting him to do this on purpose. What Rashi means is that he'll make a mistake. And once we're dealing with mistakes, it's more likely to make a mistake of someone forgetting that he borrowed money than to say he made a mistake that he paid it back when he really didn't. So that's the Lechem Mishnah's teretz. The other Achorim don't like that teretz because Rashi seems to be saying that he's going to do it on purpose. So Knesset Agdolos is a different teretz, and he says Parshat Pshat Rashi is like we're saying. What we're worried is you're going to give it to, and this is the way the Sma and others learn it, and it's a nice way to learn the Gemara. The simple way to learn the Gemara is Lifnei Iver applies to people that you have to suspect might make problems. You're tempting them. Don't lend money to someone who might, down the line, be tempted to deny it. When the Gemara goes then to Ravina and Ravashi, that's why Ravina and Ravashi didn't talk about Lifnei Iver over there. Because they're not, Ravina didn't think Ravashi is going to lie and purposely make deny something that happened. What he was worried was he's going to forget. I'll make a mistake. And that's why he said, Koshkin, you're when I'm dealing with a non-Tamil Chacham, someone who might not be so honest, so they aren't worried about they might try to swindle me. Over here, you're right. I'm not worried. Even me? No, I'm not worried you're going to swindle you. I'm not worried you're going to swindle me. But I worry that you're so busy, you might be unaware, you might make a mistake, you might forget it. And you who are very busy are more likely to make such a mistake, and that will cause a klala to me. Right? That's a way that the smar they learn this gemara, that for an amah aretz, the main issue is that might be someone who'll swindle. For a tamal chacham, the main issue is he might forget about it. And that's what these two reasons are. So based on that, the Knesset HaGdolah says, we could be talking where he's going, we're worried that he's going to do it on purpose by an Amah Aretz. But the Amah Aretz, since he's an Amah Aretz, he might not know the halacha so well. He might get nervous. He might think that since the loan took place with witnesses, he's not believed to say he paid it unless he has witnesses to prove that he paid it. Even though the halacha is not that way, he doesn't know the halacha so well because he's not a Talmud Chacham. So using that logic, he says, since he brings another Gemara where such a thing, they make such a, that we rely on someone's unawareness of the halacha. Since he might not realize that the halacha is he doesn't need witnesses, so just having the witnesses there at the time of the loan will prevent him from saying that he paid back when he didn't really pay back. So why do you need the witnesses by the time of Chacham? We're not afraid that he's going to swindle you. That's just because he's going to forget. So if he forgets, so the witnesses will remind him that he really did take the loan. So anyway, that's the Knesset HaGdolah's answer of the Parati issue over here. He's saying that we don't have to worry that as long as you have witnesses at the time of the loan, we don't have to worry that the borrower is going to lie and say that I paid you back already when he didn't, because he's going to be nervous that he won't be believed unless there's witnesses. That's his terrace. The Tumim says, no, he goes also that we're talking about honest people here who might make a mistake and forget, and they'll say, I'm sorry, I don't remember. That's what we're worried about. We're worried that the person will say, I don't remember what happened. So what happens? If you have witnesses here, if there's no witnesses here, and he says, look, I don't remember borrowing the money, so then you can't force them to pay you, because he says, look, I don't know, prove to me that I borrowed the money, I don't remember this. But if you have witnesses who saw the loan took place, and he says, I don't remember if I paid you back, so then the halacha is he has to pay. Because here I have proof that you borrowed the money. You don't remember if you paid me back, so you have to pay. So that's his take on why it's sufficient to have the witnesses there. As long as the witnesses are there, we're just worried that he might not remember what happened. So if there are witnesses there, he doesn't remember paying back, he's going to have to pay. If there are no witnesses there, he doesn't remember borrowing the money, so then he'll be out of it, and you caused him to do Lifnei Iver. It's a whole issue. We say the Lifnei Iver even b'shogeg, according to these shitas, and he'll cause a klala when people see him doing that. Now, based on this, we see what, at any rate, the Shulchan Aruch is paskening that as long as there are witnesses there, that's sufficient, because at issue here is we're trying to prevent the person from denying that, either forgetting or denying that he ever took the loan. To say that we're trying to prevent him from lying or misremembering that he paid it back when he didn't pay it back, that we're not worried about for either of these, any of these reasons, because Rachamishas, Knesset HaGdolah, Tumim, these reasons, we're only worried that he's going to deny ever receiving the loan. But to say that he's going to lie and say he paid when he didn't pay, that's not an issue. Now, based on that, there seems to be an easy way out. But if you recall from the Gemara said that Ravina wrote a shtar. He said he wanted a shtar, a document, a signed document with two witnesses. And the Shulchan Aruch, we read, says that that's the best way, that's the best thing. The requirement is witnesses. If you have a signed document, that's the best way to go. Why is that better? The Sma says because there you solve another problem. It could be he remembers borrowing the money, but he thinks it was $100, not $1,000. He forgot a zero. If you have it on a shtar, it's documented, so then that's preferred because now you have, in writing it says 1,000. You can't deny the loan. You have a shtar here. What do I have the shtar? Why do I sell the shtar if you paid me back? That solves that problem also. And also the $1,000 is written down there. You can't start discussing how much it really was because you have it in writing here. That's what the Sma says why a shtar is better. The Shach says based on that, and this is, I think, an easy way out. The Shach says, so based on that, you don't have to have a formal shtar with two witnesses. Yeah, that might be preferred. It's nicer to have a valid shtar. But if the loafer just writes, I owe you $1,000, and he gives you an IOU, so that's called a ksavyad. That's called the handwriting of a lova. And what's the status of that ksavyad, that IOU? Well, it's not quite as good as a shtar, but it's better than nothing. It's better than nothing because if I have an IOU that says that you owe me $1,000, and I say, here, give me the money, and you say, I never borrowed the money from you. So you're not believed because I have an IOU that says that you did borrow the money from me. It's not as good as a shtar because if I say, look, here's an IOU that says you owe me $1,000 and you say, you're right, I borrowed it but I paid you back, so then I lose because it's not, if it's a shtar, a full-fledged shtar, so then we'll say, look, I'm not going to pay you $1,000 until you give me back my document. If it's just my handwritten IOU, so then that's not such a strong article of debt. So I'm not so worried about getting it back, and I believe to say that I paid it back. So the Shach says, he says the Marishkam disagrees with him, but the Shach says it's okay to use a ksav yad, and the Choshen Aaron says, based on what we're saying, it makes a lot of sense why a ksav yad should be okay because. What are you worried about? Well, it's not as good as a real full-fledged document because he can say, I paid you back when he didn't really pay back. But the whole takon of the Gemara was to have two witnesses. And that's sufficient. Even though against two witnesses also, you could say, I paid you back. I agree with the witnesses that I borrowed the money, but I paid back since the rule is I don't have to pay back with witnesses. I don't have to prove I paid back. And we said, we're not worried about you lying there because of the various reasons that the Achronim said. So the Choshen Aaron says, based on that, it should be sufficient to have a handwritten IOU. That should be just as good. He has a question why the Shulchan Aruch is so accepting of the two witnesses. Why aren't we afraid of Parati? But that's what he says. He says if you accept two witnesses where the Lova is believed to say he paid back even if he has no proof, it's the same thing you should accept. A Ksav Yad, the Chavetz Chaim, in fact, says that when you lend money, Yitin Lo Shtar Chov, it's also an obligation on the lova that the poskim say the lova should give him a document. Oh, I'll call him ksivas yado, or at least a ksav yad. Right. So lemaisa is we have a halacha. It says it's also to lend without witnesses. We've discussed some reasons that aren't so good of why people don't do it, but we concluded with one easy way out, and that is to say please write an IOU which should be as good as witnesses because he can no longer deny that he borrowed the money. If it says I owe you $1,000, you said that you did owe. There's no special nusach that you need for an IOU. There is another way, making it even better, that you could write into the IOU. I have a nusach over here that say, and I believe the malva, whenever he has this, I'm relinquishing all rights to deny it. And then he can't even say, I paid. It's called nemonis. You can put nemonis into an IOU, you make it even stronger. But the Chavetz Chaim doesn't say you have to do that. The Shach doesn't say you have to do that. It seems that a simple IOU is good. Now, one other way out, which we discussed, which could make sense, like someone needs to make a phone call. In the old days, when they used to use a quarter for a phone call, a kai bar of a quarter. So you need to write, I want an IOU, I owe you a quarter, or someone's coming by and they have a dollar to give tzedakah. So there I think we can rely on this far. Either the Aruch HaShulchan said, look, either you trust him, he's not going to forget, or if he's going to forget, be like the Mitzvah B'Tam, say Mochalit, and the Ma'aseh, here's a quarter, and if you forget to pay me back, I'm Mochalit. You'll say the words up front. Right? If it's $1,000, you don't want to say that. But if it's something you don't care about, which is frequent, you see someone at the grocery and you forgot your cash, can you lend me $10 for this checkout? So you have $10 if you forget about it, don't worry. Right? So that's certainly a way to avoid this issur. And, you know, it might be better than asking to write an IOU for $10, 10 cents, you know, 5 cents. And, you know, 5 cents short here, can you lend me a nickel? You know, so give him the nickel. Say, here, I'll lend it to you. If you remember, you don't, you know, Sonei Matan is Yichai, people don't like getting presents. Okay, if you remember, you can give me back the nickel, but if you forget, I'm mochel you up front. So that way, there's no lefneiver and there's no klola because you're mochel it. So that will be a way for small sums, for larger sums. So I think it is recommended. I mean, these tuitzim aren't so good. You know, people do forget nowadays. People do deny things. People are very hassled and make mistakes. So it would seem the easiest way out would be to use this IOU. Say, okay, just put it in writing. IOU. We put a date on it. IOU $1,000, and sign it. And that will be sufficient that he can no longer deny that he received the loan.